Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. This has been a blessed day. I tell you, it has been an interesting day, a Holy Ghost-filled day, a day of joy, and this is the day that the Lord has made. So we are to rejoice and be glad in it. We are to know that the very God that we trust and believe in, He gives us everything we need. And that deserves a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you expect, and this is the question, do you expect a spouse or a close friend to provide everything you need? If the answer is yes, you should wonder who actually supplies all of their needs. Depending on someone else to do what our Father in heaven does, rising total faith in the one who provides. My guest today on Mission from the Heart Radio is a sister in Christ. She and I are very close friends. We went to church together. We cry together. We laugh together. And we've grown together in grace. And I thank God for her being in my life. And I'm sure she shares the same feelings. But she is my guest today on the program. And she will be bringing a wonderful lesson concerning everything you need. And she will walk us through some key verses in Scripture that will encourage us to maintain our focus, our faith, and our fellowship with the one who supplies everything we need. So she will be bringing these rich nuggets out in life that they would come alive in your soul, and that you would just hold on to them, and hopefully they will minister to you or just provide what you need. Lakeisha, if you would give us a little thumbnail sketch about yourself and tell us how and when and where you came to know the Lord, and then we'll just go right into our lesson.
Okay. My name is Minister Lakeisha Richmond. I was led to Christ at 9 years old. I confessed Christ at 9 years old. And it was in the driveway of the house I grew up at, 7205 Knox, and actually I live right down the street from that same place today. And that's where I first confessed Christ at 9 as a little girl, and then my relationship grew with Him over the years by staying in fellowship with God in Sunday school and in the choir and just going with my mom to different churches. But I had a hunger and a desire, because we had a lot of things that we needed, you know, not just we had shelter, but a lot of times we didn't have food, or we didn't have light, or we didn't have, and as a little child, by me being introduced to Christ, and I would hear the preachers talk about this man, this bread, when you're hungry, there's water, when you're thirsty. I got that hunger, and I was like, well, He has everything I need. So I sought God as a child, and over the years, I've always hungered, and I always expected to get what I needed from God. After that, I would like to thank you, Carnita. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for this opportunity to come and talk about everything you need today. I really appreciate you, and I love you much as my sister in Christ. Well, the day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Our first scripture will be coming from Philippians 4 and 19. That's Philippians 4 and 19. And I'll be reading to you from the Daily Walk Bible. It's the New International Version. And it reads as follows: "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now, to me, that scripture speaks to relationship, and it's personal. If you notice, it says, the first thing it says, "And my God," you know, ask yourself, who is your God? Who is my God? Is your God meeting your needs? Then it's according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? So do you know him? Have you gotten to know him? If you haven't, you have an opportunity this day to get to know him, or get to know him better, to get a closer walk with him, because it's your decision. Okay, let's just look at the title and break it down a little bit. Everything. What is everything? What does that say to you? What does that speak to you? The dictionary, one of the definitions in the dictionary says, all that exists. That's everything. All that exists. That's from A to Z. Anything you can think about that you've seen, that you, all that exists. So everything you or I need, what does need? Need is a condition requiring supply or relief. You need something. That means I'm lacking. I'm lacking some food. I'm lacking some peace of mind. I'm lacking my relationship. I'm lacking a vehicle, but I'm lacking finances, but I'm lacking some. So I am in need. So if God is everything that I need, everything, so understand that all that exists is because of God. And he that created all that exists has your supply and your relief. So on today, I speak to your mind, I speak to your heart, that you become unstuck, unset, unglued in your mind, and allow your Father in heaven to rescue you so that you may develop a relationship with him. For those who already have a relationship, it's my prayer that you would draw closer to him. Then you will understand better how your Father in heaven can provide you with all that you need. All you have to do are three things just to have all everything you need. You can receive everything you need by confession, belief, and transformation. I know someone is asking right now, well, how do I do that? How do I do it? So I'm going to tell you. Confession. To confess means to tell. So with your mouth, I know that the Father, tell the Father, I know that you will provide all my needs, according to Philippians 4 and 19. So I'm making known to you, my Father in heaven, I'm telling you what I need. Then after you do that, then, you know, thank you for providing my needs. After you have told your Father in heaven with your mouth, you have to expect to receive what you stand in need of. So that brings us to number two. You got to believe. What is belief? Let me tell you, belief is a thought you keep thinking over and over and over. The word keep means continuous, over and over. Check your thoughts, because what you think over and over should be positive. Are those thoughts good? Do those thoughts encourage me? Every time you think of your need not met, believe it is. By thinking over and over, my Father supplies all that I need. So you have to see that need being met, whatever it is. You got to see it being supplied. You got to see it right there as if you it was never gone. When you place an order for some supplies, you expect them to be delivered, and they're delivered, right? Okay, you place your order with your Heavenly Father. How do you do that? Place your order with your Heavenly Father when you pray. And then when you pray, you expect Him to deliver. According to, if you go to St. Matthew's chapter 21 and in verse 22. And I will read it from the Daily Walk Bible, which I'm reading from today, New International Version. But it says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. And all prayer is communication. It's communication. But listen to this. If you believe, no one can do that for you. If you believe, they don't say you might receive. They don't say, oh, I think about God's not saying, oh, I think about it, I might do that. But he's saying you will. So he's telling you in his word because you have a relationship with him, because you are communicating with him, so he knows what you're in need of because you have told him. So you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. But you've had a renewed mind when you have confessed, when you have believed, and then that has transformed you, because after that you don't want to look at the situation, you don't look at the situation or situations the same way any longer. So you're going to continue in that new way. You're going to use your faith, your belief, according to the scripture again. We'll go to Romans 12 and 3. It talks about God giving us all individually a measure of faith. So we all have different amounts of faith. It's, you know, some have stronger faith than others, but he gives us the amount of faith we need. I may not need a whole lot of faith because that's not what God has given me. He's given me that measure that what his purpose and his plan in my life requires. So he gives you that amount of faith, that the purpose and the plan in your life that he requires you to use, that faith he's given you. He gives you enough. It's enough. So all it takes is a little faith, the size of a mustard seed. That's about the size of the point of a writing pen. If you look at the point of a writing pen or a pencil, that's when you go, next time you go into the grocery store, go look for a bottle of mustard seed. I guarantee you, you're going to look at the mustard seed and you're going to say, oh my God, that's all the faith I need. So if you have that much, I know you do. I already know you have that much faith. Let me show you how simple it is to use your faith. You do it more than you realize, because, I mean, I had to think about it myself. I use my faith more than I realize. Think about when you sit down in a chair. You expect that chair to hold you up. When you put your key in your door, you expect that key to unlock that door. When you get in your car and you put it in ignition, right, you expect the car to start. But when you get up in the morning, you expect the sun to be out, right? So think about this. Think about a bank. People like you and me, you and I, we put our money in the bank. Where does the money come from? Work, gifts, let's say work. So when you have work, either you have your check direct deposited or you take your check to the bank to deposit it, and then it is made available to you. Sometimes it is not available right away, right? Sometimes you got to wait till Monday if you made a deposit after 6 o'clock on the Friday, but the money is there, it's just not available. So listen to me. Listen, your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, He is your bank. He is my bank, and your prayers, my prayers, those are our deposits. Understand this. And your faith makes the answer to your prayers available to you, which withdraws your every need that is supplied by your bank, which is your Father in heaven. So listen, let me say it again. We pray to God in heaven, our Father, and we understand that He's our bank. So our prayers are our deposit. That's our money. That's what we work. That's we work to believe that faith is the work. That's the work. You know, it's the work. The work. And we know that the Bible says faith without works is dead. So when we have prayed and we have given God those prayers, we don't go back and pick them up. We don't, you know, because if we do that, we're not working, you know. We're not working. We're not believing that he's going to do it because it should be no effort once we've prayed and given it to him. We just have to expect it because it's available to us because we have made the deposit. Okay. Another thing. Think of these prayers as interest. Okay? As interest. Those are interest. That's interest. Because when your needs are met, we've prayed, we've expected God to meet that need. So he has done that. He has met the need. So I don't have any more at this point today. I don't have any need. That does not mean that I stop praying. Okay? So when your need or your needs are met, you still have to do something to stay focused in your new way, to continue in that transformation, to not look at the old situation, the current situation with that old mindset. So you got to pray even when things are going well. Think of these prayers as interest. That's how we get the interest. Because, you know, if you have a bank account, if you have money in the savings or in the bank and you don't touch it, even if you do take money out, every so often you'll receive some interest, whether it's a penny, 3 cents, or whatever, but interest. So when we pray when things are going well, oh, my God, that's some interest. Some stored up interest. So we got that's some extra. So you will receive an extra reward, a benefit from your Father in heaven. We can even look at that in the scripture. Let's go to Psalms 37:4-5. It reads, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, just with that when you have delight, when you delight, you take great pleasure. That's joy. So, do you have great pleasure? Do you take joy in your relationship with your Father in heaven? That's something to think about. But even if you do, when you do that, he's not only supplied your needs; you have some extra. He's going to give you he's going to give you the desires of your heart. So if you continue to commit your way to the Lord, that's the next verse, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. This is what we have to do once our needs are met, to continue in the transformation in a renewed mind. Commit our ways to the Lord. And then we feel that faith has to be consistent. So then it tells us to trust in him. And he will do this. He would do exactly what he said. We can look one more place. St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. And it says, but seek first his kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. And his righteousness. And all these, we back to everything, all. That's all inclusive. That's everything that exists. Anything that you can... spiritually, not just naturally material things, but spiritually, so growing and getting closer to God, that includes that. All these things will be given to you as well. That's on top of your needs. Then the next scripture tells you, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow you'll worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We don't worry because God has everything we need. He's met our needs and he's given us our desires. And how we don't worry is because once we've given it to him, we are expecting him to answer those prayers. And then when those prayers are met, we are still expecting for our desires to show up. Amen. So right now, I believe it's the perfect time for you to make a decision to confess. You know, tell God. Tell him what you need. And after you tell him what you need, you got to believe. You got to think it over and ask yourself, do I have a personal relationship with God? Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And then the third thing is that you can walk, continue to walk in transformation, or you can walk in transformation. That's just a different. You're looking different than, let's say, you're not the same person you was yesterday, okay, or 5 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago, because you have been transformed. It's like a butterfly. It starts off in a cocoon, but the product of the butterfly, how it began, it does not look like how it began. You understand? That's transformation. After you have done the first two things, then that's where the transformation comes in at. After you confess and you believe. So at this time, Carnita, will you lead us into confession, please?
Sure. This is a time when we need to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ who may be listening to this program and bow our heads and intercede for someone else who may not know the Lord, who may be struggling with giving a confession of faith and struggling with believing that Jesus died on that cross for their sins, and they do want to be transformed so that they can walk in holiness and newness of life. So if you could, brothers and sisters, just bow your heads with me and pray with me that someone would come to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins. And for those of you who are listening, who don't know him and want to be saved, do not let this day pass or another day pass without confessing and believing that you will be transformed. This is the day. This day. So bow your heads, and those who desire to be saved, just repeat after me and line up in your heart with tenderness and sincerity in your prayer that you know God knows the hearts of every man and woman. So be sincere in your prayer as you pray this with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I am lost, and I need to be saved. I know I can't save myself. So right now, once and for all, Lord, I trust you to save me. Please come into my heart, forgive my sin, and make me your child. I give you my life, Lord. I choose to live for you as you gave me strength. Give me the strength that I need to walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope that you've prayed and repeated those words, but believe sincerely in your heart that Jesus did that on the cross for you, and that you would get yourself into a Bible-believing church to where you could be discipled in Sunday school or a discipleship ministry, that you would be purified and transformed from the inside out. And let us know by contacting this ministry on the internet, and letting us know, sending us an email on the site. You can let us know how you've been doing and what church you may have attended or may have joined. And we just want to continue to pray for you, brother or sister, and that you would continue to press forward and continue to grow and go in faith and in grace. So thank you so much. And Lakeisha, if you want to continue, go right ahead if you had some other scriptures to share. But I, as I was following along with you, and of course I was making note as you were taking us through your points of confession, belief, and transformation, and walking through this newness of life, you made mention of some very good examples or some analogies, or actually some illustrations on what we need to be doing, what we need to be doing in walking in newness of life. Can you just help those who might need to know concerning the belief point?
Okay, you say the belief point?
Yeah.
Well, about what is a belief? Well, one thing about belief, if you think about when it's those thoughts that we think over and over. It's for instance, if in school, you know, you kids can be really, really, really mean, and they can tell you, say anything about this, something hurtful, you're ugly, or you are just something that's not true about you, but you are. If the kid bullies you enough or tells you that enough, you'll begin to think that you're ugly. And you'll begin to not just think that, but when you look in the mirror, you'll begin to see yourself as being ugly. So you have programs because that thought, you've heard someone tell you that, and that thought is there, and it's just over and over. You know, but if you're in scripture and you're reading scripture, someone tells you you're ugly, but you've read your scripture, your Bible, or your parent has read that to the child, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If they plant that seed from the Word of God in that child, no matter what someone else comes and says, no matter whether the child comes, but because they have that seed that's planted, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am beautiful. I am created in the image of God. So if that child's gonna know that, because why? Because of relationship. Right back in relationship, because my mother or my father told me, put the Word of God in me, and some stranger told me something different that I don't have a relationship with, but they're going to come and tell me something. They're outside of my home, outside of the ones that love me, outside of the ones that take care of me. So who do you think is going to? The Word of God, because of that seed being planted right there at home, because of the relationship with the mother and the father, that should hold. That's so. So if we get in the Word of God and we know what our Father in Heaven says, those people on the outside here on the earth that, you know, if we hold to His Word, that belief, that's what those are thoughts. You know, Scripture says, think on these things that are lovely, of good report. I mean, that's in Colossians. But those things, those good thoughts, those positive thoughts, if we think on those things, those are the things we'll believe. Those things that will encourage us. So does that answer your question?
Amen. And they are the things that will encourage us. And as you continued in the point under concerning transformation, and you brought out the verses that help us to understand, can you just deepen our understanding on how does God want us to be transformed and live a transformed life?
Okay. For that, we can go to Romans. The 12th chapter. We just go right back to the Word.
Amen.
Romans, the 12th chapter, and it'll be verse 1 and 2. And it reads as follows. And again, I'm reading from the Daily Walk Bible, the New International Version. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So some of those things that, those old things that the flesh, because this is talking to your body, so your body is flesh. And you know this dirty old flesh craves and desires some things that we know we shouldn't eat, some things we shouldn't involve ourselves in. So it says we should offer, in the view of God's mercy, to offer my body, your body, as a living sacrifice. Then the next thing is holy. It says holy and pleasing to God. And it says this is our spiritual act of worship. I like to say this is the least that I can do. Since, you know, this is the least I can do. God gave his only son to go to the cross, and he sacrificed his life for us. So that's all. You just want me to, just offer my body as a living sacrifice, you know, that's going to be pleasing to him. So if I need to give up something that's harmful to this body, if I need to sacrifice a day that of not going to the beach just to give God some time, some prayer. If I need to sacrifice turning my plate over and standing in proxy, praying for someone else that's in need, that's what a living sacrifice is. If I need to just take the day off and do what I want to do, but help my neighbor. Or take my neighbor to the store. That's what a living sacrifice. I will put my stuff on hold. That's what living sacrifice is, and that's pleasing to God. And the next thing it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So conform. I'm not going to act like those unrighteous folks. I shouldn't sound like my words, my speech, my response should not sound or look like those of ungodly people, because if they do, then I'm conforming to the things of this world. So the transformation, how this speaks to transformation, because it says, "Do not conform." What does it say? Any longer. So what that means? That's what you used to do, right? But be transformed right there by the renewing of my mind. By renewing of your mind. So it means it's going to be that old stuff that's gone. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I was looking for the other scripture that says that the old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. Find it in a second. Do you have anything to add to that, Carnita, while I'm looking for the scripture?
Well, I was thinking about, how we are to have a renewed mind, and these things do help us to want to be holy and set apart in our new thinking. And having a transformed mind brings about holy living.
Okay.
And I like the way that He instructs us to, the more that we read his word, the more that we dig into the word of God, our Bibles, it will transform our thinking from the way the world has conformed our thinking. And so transforming our mind so that our life will be different in living is that transformation of lifestyle, those outward signs. And, of course, the inward would be taking on the characters of the Lord, God, the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy and the peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And, of course, that would be taking shape on the inside as a transformation. But, yeah, the old things are passed away. They need to be passed away. You know,
right.
the type of old life that we live, the old desires that we desired in that old nature or that old way of living, those old thoughts. And I think about myself as I became transformed. There was some things that I stopped doing, and even when I wanted to go there, the desire wouldn't allow me to, the desire that I had wouldn't allow me to go there. But the new way, my new life, my born-again nature, my transformation wouldn't allow me to go there, even though my flesh wanted to go there or that nature that I had wanted to go there. And I think of one particular area in my days of drinking, clubbing, and the Lord just took those desires away from me. Now, I do still enjoy dancing, but I dance to a different beat of the drum now. But when I do have to admit that I used to go to the clubs with girlfriends, and that was a way of life for me. And even in drinking was a way of life. Had to have something to drink because it went with the atmosphere that I happened to be in. But this new way of life, the joy that you get from this, the peace that you get from this, the trust that you get from this transformed life provides everything we need. And I just... I just thank God for what he provides for us in all of this newness of life. Yes, the old things are past.
Yes. I found the scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. So that's important. Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So that old man, the old ways, the old thoughts, they're gone and the new has come. Now, does that mean that every once in a while you won't be tested or no, but with the new mind, you are new, just like Cornelia said. It may show up, because the devil doesn't come a different. He doesn't come. He doesn't do anything new. He may use the same old thing, just come a different route. He may know what your address is. He's not going to come down the same way. He's not going to come down the freeway this time. He may cut across the path. He may go around the corner and come up the back of the house. But he's gonna. It's always gonna be that same old thing. So, but if you have that new mind, your mind has been transformed. You know, God, he's going to provide you with everything you need. When it says everything, God is everything you need, he provides a way of escape. So when you say everything, anything, he's protection, he's peace, everything. Anything that you lack, he has it. He is it. And the other scripture, if I can, Philippians 4, was right above where we were, Philippians 4:8. And it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what you want your thoughts, your beliefs to be. You want your beliefs to be true. want to be noble. You want to be what's right. You want your thoughts to be pure. You want them to be lovely. And you want them to be admirable. Because that is what's excellent and praiseworthy. That's what's desirable of our Father. That's what He expects of us.
Amen. 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 And I tell you, one scripture came to mind as we were, as you were reading that particular one, was John 14:27, "Let not your hearts be troubled."
Yes.
And when we are going through a circumstance or a situation, and we don't know how this is going to pan out or what the end or the outcome may be in this circumstance, I love the way that this particular verse in John 14, chapter 14, verse 27, brings comfort to us. And that is just what the Lord Jesus provides for us, you know, comfort to a troubled heart. And He's a comforter, and that is a provision for us.
Right.
He's a comforter. And one other one was, let me find Isaiah 26, and it's verse 3, I believe. And it reads this way, and these were really comforting to me. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in me." Trust in me, or in thee. And so that perfect peace, whose mind is focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He gives us a peace that surpasses all of our understanding, but He provides that peace. Everything we need.
Yes.
When our hearts are in trouble, Lakeisha, he does that. So these are beautiful nuggets that reassure us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is everything we need.
Yes.
Everything. So, such a wonderful passage, lesson in letting us know how everything we need is right there in Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is the great shepherd. He is our high priest who intercedes for us. When you made mention about us praying and how we need to be in prayer daily.
Yes.
And He knows our circumstance. He knows our pains. And it's, he provides the comfort we need. He provides the assurance that we need through His Word. Everything He provides is in His Word.
Yes.
And the Bible, of course, is the place we need to be in order for us to make a confession of faith to others,
right,
and believe without doubting that Jesus died on that cross for our sins, and know that we can have a holy life set apart from the world.
Yes.
We don't live as if there's no hope.
Right.
And so this is a beautiful assurance to me to know that He provides everything. We may cry sometimes, and He dries our tears.
Yes.
How He does that is awesome in the way that He does that. He provides. And I really enjoyed the lesson and the scriptures that really pop out and just solidify everything we need. He provides it. The 23rd Psalm is just perfect as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you read that, Lakeisha?
Okay. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness." That's paths, that's plural. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So it's not death, it's just a shadow. A shadow can't hurt you. It's a shadow. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen. And if that is not reassuring for a shepherd, the great shepherd, who provides everything the sheep need,
right?
I tell you, this has been a blessing to me. I hope it's been a blessing to you as you listen to this lesson. Everything you need is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything you need. And that is the focus. And Minister Lakeisha Richmond has done a beautiful job in bringing some light out of the scriptures that should resonate in your heart to know that we don't have to look toward our spouses or our friends, but we look upward from which cometh our help. And all of our help comes from the Lord. He is the master.
Mm-hmm.
And Lakeisha, did you have any final words in the lesson? If not, we're going to bring our lesson to a close, our program to a close. I hate to let it go because it has been so rich in the message. And if you have any final words to those who are listening tonight.
I would just say confess, believe, and walk, and continue to walk in your transformation, your new way of thinking, your new way of living, draw closer to God, to Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and expect him to supply you with whatever you ask him. Communicate, pray. Pray to him. When you pray, expect it, believe, you know, don't doubt, you know, think over and over, thank him, think over and over, my need has been met, you know, has been met, so it's already there, and expect it, just like if you you order something online, and you've already paid for it, and it tells you, the only difference is, when you order it online, it gives you an approximate date that you'll receive it. So when you pray and you expect God to answer that prayer, you just expect, okay, it's coming today, but expect it every day. Expect, just like you order a package or you order something online, expect it like that. That's what I can tell you. So this is just like money in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And that's such encouraging to know. And so wonderful to hold on to. I hope that you not go away cleaving to the very word of God. His word transforms our life. His word cleans us up from the inside out. The Holy Spirit lives and resonates inside of us. And for those of you who confessed tonight that you are saved and believe that and just find yourself a good Bible teaching church and a good Sunday school class or a discipleship class, I just implore you, encourage you to do that. It is such a need in today's times with all that's taking place in the world today. And we just do not want to meander around as if there's no hope. And so I just encourage you to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. He did what he did on that cross, and he did it for us, you and me. So I just thank you for being faithful to this program, but most of all, being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is life eternal. So thank you so much for listening to this program. Minister Lakeisha Richmond, I am so forever grateful for your obedience to the Holy Spirit in being on this program and bringing us a wonderful lesson to everything you need. And, of course, we know who that is, and that is Yahweh God. So, again, this brings us to the close of our program. And always remember that the flowers fadeth, the grass withers, and the flowers fadeth, but the word of God remains forever and ever. So God bless you, and I pray that you have a blessed remaining of the week and a awesome fellowship service on Sunday, and just continue to focus and walk with him. And that's capital H-I-M. God bless you, and good night.